You please. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. And I'm going to do my best to preach this message if God will help me. And if He don't help me, I'm in big trouble. Amen. Goes right there. And we'll pick up. Of course, this is the closing thought of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ has preached several chapters, dealt with several things on what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, we're getting to the end of this. And, he's giving them instruction, but also warnings. As a matter of fact, he gives them a beware. That's strong, folks, and we'll get to that in a minute. But look at verse 13. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Listen to verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now to everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now we'll stop reading there for sake of time. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we approach your holy throne in the name of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And I ask you, Father, that you'd have mercy on my heart, my mind, and my mouth tonight. Lord, I stand where the arm of flesh has often failed me, but Lord, you've never failed me. So I'm asking tonight, dear Father, that you would illuminate my heart and mind, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost, touch each life, each heart, give us the message of the hour. And Lord, we ask you to preach it through us. And you know the needs among us, spiritual, physical, financial, emotional. You know all the needs. And we just plead the blood of Jesus over those needs and this message. If there's one here lost tonight, we pray you'd save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, of course, we preached a little bit on this subject. We may repeat a little of that this morning, but the Lord had other plans for the bulk of the time we had this morning, and that's all right. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the service. He doesn't have to ask my permission to do something that I see that's different. It's not different to God. He had planned to do that the whole time. And we just want to make sure we don't get in His way. Amen, amen. That's a big fear of mine as a pastor when the Spirit moves, trying to discern that and to discern what God might want for the hour. I don't try to duck out of preaching. Never will I do that. But yet I don't want to get in the Holy Ghost's way either. But anyway, we started this thought. And I do want to preach on eternity's too long to be wrong, or false professions versus true possession. Now, in this text, it began actually in verse 1, and this is a verse that's clung to out of context more probably than any verse in the Bible. Let me repeat that. Verse 1 is a verse cling to more than any verse out of context in the Bible. Everybody likes this verse. "Judge not, that ye be not judged." And we forget verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And it goes on, and of course, Christ is building this to tell them to beware of false prophets. Now, again, do not judge others. This verse is talking about do not judge others unless you're prepared to be judged by the same standard. Get a hold of that. Do not judge others unless you're prepared to be judged by the same standard. Hey, you will when you exercise judgment toward someone and you notice, and you know what? The exact way I approach this will be how it is approached to me. And so that gives me a sense of wanting to do a Galatians 6:1 if you see a brother in a fault. It didn't say ignore it and not judge him. He says deal with it. But how to deal with it? In a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we run around with the thought, judge not, judge not, judge not. John, the Gospel, John 7:24 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I wrote this down, and I'm trying to find where I wrote it. And I wrote this down when the Lord gave me John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Listen to this. Judge according to the book, not just the look. Amen. Ain't that good? That's original. Put my name by that. I'm sure somebody done said that. I might have heard it and forgot I heard it. But judge according to the book, not just the look. Right fruit is found in Scripture. It goes along talking about we'll know the false prophets, we'll know them by their fruit. Their fruit always ends up corrupt. Amen. A false prophet, and in the night I'm trying to behave myself, but there's false prophets all over the television. Amen. And you see the end of their fruit. It's always corrupt. What do you mean? Lying with satisfying or gratifying or the flesh or building up material things. It's never about the kingdom of God. It's never about giving the gospel to seeing souls saved. It's about sowing into them. Sowing in. We're not told to sow into them. We're told to sow the seed of the word of God. All seed is good seed. And that seed in Matthew 13 is God's word. And we are to sow it, even though only 25% of it falls on good ground. Some falls on stony places. Some falls among thorns and thistles. Some fall and goes on. But hey, there's some falls on good ground. You throw enough seed of the word of God, eventually it's going to take root. You're going to get good fruit from it. We're never told to sow into a man. We're told to sow into the gospel. Right. Amen. Amen. We're told to sow into the gospel. So right fruit is found in Scripture. And when we have to deal with something or somebody in the place of righteous judgment, we do it with a desire, if this was me, here's how I'd want to be dealt with. Here's how, if it was me in this person's place. And don't say it couldn't ever be you. Can I say this and you still love me? That's the dumbest thing you could say. I won't do that. My child never do that. Yeah, you better go ahead and get bail money. Because they're liable to be the next one. Amen. That's right. I remember years ago, and I think I've told this before, there was this girl that she kept skipping school. And she had to ride by the preacher's house to get home, and they all was talking about her, bad-mouthing her, judge, you know, all that stuff. Didn't know their daughter was in the front seat with her in the floorboard. Yeah. True story. You better look. And so they would want mercy, not compromise. They'd want humility and mercy in being dealt with. So that's the way you ought to be dealing with folks when it comes to righteous judgment. So that's sermon number one. But my text tonight, and if you'll give me a few minutes, is actually found in verse number 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, what day? The day of the Lord. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, folks, here's a scene here, I believe we could say of the white throne judgment, maybe. I'm not trying to add to scriptures, but the Bible says the books will be open. B-O-O-K-S. I didn't learn much, but that's more than one. Now, one book is this one. The Bible said we're going to be judged by this. Then, of course, we know there's the book of life, but there's also a book of remembrance. But I believe that when the book of life, Lamb's book of life is open, maybe while it's being searched, those individuals say, Lord, it's in there. Have I not? Didn't I go to church every Sunday? I've never done anybody wrong. I wasn't perfect, Lord, but I done this and then I done that and I done the other, and the Lord's going to say, depart from me. Not that I knew you and lost you. Depart from me, I never knew you. Even in this text, we have proof text of eternal salvation. It's not that, well, you know what? I see you was wrote down in here, but I scrubbed your name out. I erased it four or five times and put it back in there four or five times. You understand? I mean, wrap logic around that. It's not scriptural. But he's going to say, depart from me. I never, and before that he said, they're already making a case for themselves. They're already standing there alone and they're saying, Lord, Lord. Many are going to say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I mean, Lord, look at all the good we did. Look at all the good things we did. And I understand I've had this said to me is this. I'm not going to get saved. There's just too many hypocrites in church. You know what? That's a true statement. I won't argue with that statement, but I'll say one thing. That won't hold weight or water when you stand before the Lord. If that individual is a true hypocrite, now you got to remind you what a hypocrite is, that somebody's not theirself on Sunday. They're playing a role. Amen. And we see in it. They'll be standing there too, by the way. But it could be some backslid Christian that'll suffer a loss of reward at the Bema seat because they wasn't what they ought to have been in front of you. It's very important, Christian. It's very important that we be what we ought to be to a community. A community is where you live, it's where you work, it's where you go to school, anybody you're around. Or that man said, who is my neighbor? Anybody you're around is your neighbor. Yeah, that's right. Anybody the Lord allows you to come in contact with, that's your neighbor. I know in the natural sense of us, it's people we live around. But hey, it's everybody that you're around is your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor that you're around. So we need to be that example. So this portion of Scripture is very sad to me. In the context of this, these people, actually, in my opinion, these people are going to really think until they stand before God, is the things they did as far as works go is what's going to get them to heaven. And it's the responsibility of the preachers to preach this truth and tell people how they get to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness. We do good works because we are saved, not to be that way. So notice this. Notice a fourfold picture. I don't know how far I'll get, but notice this fourfold picture here. In verse number 22, look at it with me. I see four kinds of people. Number one, decent people. I mean, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They did a lot of good things. They're good people. Or what we would consider good people. But the goodness of our own flesh isn't worthy. They were decent people. They were declaring people. They declared the Lord Jesus in the text. And the whole time they didn't know the Lord, but they were declaring the Lord, because you know what? The denominations that are around here today, many of them in this area, many of them in the Bible Belt, and all over the United States and the world, add works to the grace of God. I'm talking about for salvation. We were saved unto good works, but not by them. We're saved unto good works, but not by them. But they add that. They keep adding that. And so people think, well, I went around doing good. Why? That's how I was indoctrinated. That's what was preached to me. Oh my, what a pastor will give account. He's a false prophet that will preach that. He's a false prophet that would declare salvation by works. These are people that stand before God that honestly thought that say, well, salvation by works is what they did that would get them into heaven. Nothing we can do, because all of our righteousness is filthy rags. No good thing can I do. No price can I pay to earn in my way into heaven. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but his blood washed it white as snow. Christ paid it all. So, but there's many decent and declaring people. Folks, I'm all for churches having soup kitchens for the homeless. That's a wonderful thing. Having pantries and food boxes. We got it. It's a wonderful thing to be that light in the community. But I'm going to say, people that work those things, please do not think I'm doing this good deed, I'm doing this good work, I'm going to heaven. Many are going to say that to Christ. He's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Folks, I try to imagine, and I've said this before, but I believe the white throne judgment is going to be a very, very loud judgment. I believe the judgment seat of Christ is going to be very quiet, because us as Christians, we're not being judged for sin, but what we've done since we've been saved, and we're going to be embarrassed. We're going to be ashamed. And we're going to sit there with our head held down. Because, you know, we're going to be in glorified bodies and hearing what we accomplished in the flesh and why we did what we did since Jesus saved us. But I believe the white throne judgment is going to be a very loud judgment. And not so much as what, and I'm using these phrases because we understand these terminologies. Not that there's a different class of an unsaved person, but we see these people that's wicked and deep into sin. active sin, I don't think they'll be the one doing much of the hollering. Because most of them know what they are. Come on. Folks, until you realize what you was, you never would have got saved. So that, I don't believe there's going to be much arguing with the Lord at the white throne judgment to those people. They know that they freely rejected the gospel. They know why they're there. But it's going to be this crowd in the text. Religious, but lost. Religious, but lost. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Rejected truth. They're going to be the ones screaming and begging and pleading, Lord, search the book one more time. I did this, and I did that, and I did the other, and I did this. And I, folks, there's going to be a lot of silver-haired. A lot of people that for 50, 60, 70 years never missed a service. But they sure did keep the pastor on his toes. Yeah, somebody can amen that. That's the truth. Men and women, we hired him. You don't hire a pastor. Amen. You call a pastor. Amen. Y'all call me. Y'all pay me so I can pastor, not to be one. Those two horses of a different color. And I promise you, by the grace of God, if y'all said we ain't paying you another dime, I'd still be pastoring. Amen. These folks say, well, we are part of this charity. We do that church. We do that other church. But hey, they have no Holy Ghost in them. And for years they're running churches and they putting burdens on the man of God and other people, and they don't get to heaven. You know what's gonna happen? Wait a minute. Lord, time out. I believe it'll be a wave of screaming. A wave. It's going to be the saddest thing you ever seen. And when the Lord said, depart from me, and the angels come and bind them hand and foot and cast them in the lake of fire. Hey, you better make sure you're not just religious tonight. Better make sure you're not just full of religion tonight. Religion will send you to hell. Amen. Folks, you understand being religious, you can be anything and be religious. Amen. You can bow and worship trees and say, I'm religious. Amen. Right. Amen. You can worship a hoot owl and say, I'm religious. That's right. Huh? You could do all kind of good things and say you're religion, but you can't do but one thing and have a relationship. Amen. And that's trust Christ. Amen. You understand Jesus in the Gospel of John 1:11, Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jews. Verse 12 is where we got in. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on what? His name. Amen. Not acts of religion. Not good works. What? Huh? You girls that got saved, you got saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. Amen. Now you're going to start growing in the Lord. Amen. The best thing they did was come back. Amen. Come back. And they're going to keep coming back. You know what? You know what the Holy Ghost is going to do through the week? They're going to read their Bible and they're going to pray. You know what you're going to do? You're going to read this thing. Some days you're going to say, "I don't get it." Don't feel bad. I do too. Yeah. Amen. I do too. Lord, what? But you keep reading it, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to develop a hunger and a thirst in your heart for righteousness. Because you're feeding your spiritual man or spiritual woman. Get a hold of that. You're going to starve. Those old habits, God will begin to give you strength to lay it down. Yeah, oh, man, that makes me sick. I want to be a part of that. I can't believe I ever thought about that. Don't think you've been a long range. We all there. We've all been there that's been saved. Man, I can't believe all the things you used to love, you're going to say, man, I can't believe I ever had anything to do with that. The places you used to be comfortable in, you're going to be uncomfortable. The place you used to be uncomfortable in, you're going to be comfortable. Amen. You're experiencing what true love is, the love of God, then the love of the brethren. Hello. Then the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and you're loving people. You're loving people you used to hate. Come on. Had a fellow said one time, y'all probably all heard these kind of testimonies. He said, you know what? Before I got saved, the dog, when I got home, would climb under the house and hide from me. He said, I was that rich. The dog wouldn't have nothing to do with me. He said, I got saved. The dog could tell it. Amen. I come home now, he meets me at the truck, wagging his tail. Amen. 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 I believe they can tell. Amen. Amen. I know they can tell I'm scared of them. Miss Frances McSwain lived down the road here, and she's in her 90s, and I'd visit her every other week, and she had Miss Ellen M. got her a Chihuahua, and I'm telling you, Chihuahua's got a big German Shepherd to kill everybody. I'm telling you, they'd get together, they'd wipe out the whole civilization. We'd be at war. Hey, a lot of people, we're going to be at war with the zombies. No, they gone. They dead. They ain't coming back. We'd be in war with Chihuahuas. If you got a Chihuahua, it's nothing personal. They're just mean little dogs. But she got one. She got one. And for weeks, every week, she'd get up beside Miss Francis. And I'm sitting there trying to talk to her. I can't bother me. I'm shaking all over. I'm all to pieces. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm already in the middle of it. But you know, eventually, little princess, little prince, that was his name. Somebody, Ellen, y'all missed it naming that dog that. No, I think she's a princess now. But she'd ease down, I'd watch her. I'd be talking to Miss Francis, my eyes going both directions. She'd ease down after she's fixing a lock on my ankle. And I'm going to stomp this dog in the smithereens right in front of her. And she'd smell my foot, jump back up. She'd done that for a while. And then she went from that to smelling me around my feet and all. Then she'd walk around the house. I didn't bother her. And it went from that, because I could go through the whole thing, till she'd go jump my lap as soon as I got there. She's a princess then. Until one day, she stopped being princess for a minute. COVID, we wasn't going into the home, especially the elderly. I didn't see princess for a while. Princess missed me. I'm preaching to prove it to you. Finally went back, knocked on the door, and she saw me, ran around, around, around. She jumped my lap, and she was wet all over me. I picked, hey, hey! It's all over me, all in the floor. I never wanted to. But after Miss Frances got done with that poor princess, I felt so sorry for her. You get over there and you get in that chair. Don't you move, princesses. I said, Miss Frances, I'm going to clean this up. I live 5 minutes away. I'm going to go home and change. It's all right. It's all right. I'm cleaning it up. Princess was in that chair and she'd look up. I said, don't look at me. You stay right there. I said, Miss Frances, please don't. Please stop. Can somebody tell me how I got on that? Y'all ain't listening either. Huh? Come on, that's right. Boy, I wish, Lord, you'd tell me how I got off on that. That's right. Working your way to heaven. Don't know how that chihuahua is working her way to heaven, but that's what we got it. Can't do that. God help me, how'd I do this? Yeah, I've done blow y'all's mind. Decent people, declaring people, doing people. I mean, these people weren't lazy people. They weren't like the preacher had to hunt for them on Sunday. It wasn't like they didn't show up for revival. You know, most time revivals now is more for visitors than the church, so they ain't coming. But it ain't like they didn't. It didn't like they didn't tithe. Most of them says my tithes. No, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Brother Kenny Baldwin made this statement. He said, "Hey, I ain't even started talking about y'all's money yet. Calm down." I know we're in a Baptist church. That just killed it. I mean, they were there. They labored. You to pick them out of man. These people, man, they're some of the best people I got. But they had never trusted Christ. They were basing everything they had on their goodness. And the works of the flesh never, never, ever impresses God. Just like he told Moses, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not when I see your good works, and not when I see you doing this. Hey, when I see the blood of Christ. Folks, has the blood of Christ been applied to the doorpost of your heart? Amen. The lintels of your heart. Let me give you, I'm going to skip a lot of this. If you're in this place tonight that Satan has slipped your counterfeit, are you on the fence, preacher, how do I know? There's three or four things, and I'm going to give them to you in a run. Number one, remember your birth, the natural man. Our first birth was contaminated by sin. I know this is simple to some of you. Psalmist said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans chapter number 3, verse 10 and 11, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God." In your natural state, in my natural state, we do not seek after God. He seeks after us. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12. We've quoted all these this morning. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin. Death passed all on men, for all have sinned." Number one, you remember your birth. Was all born the same way, in sin. Renounce your benevolence, or renounce your own goodness. Again, Ephesians 2:8-9. Grace, not works. Titus 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." So, remember your birth, talking about the natural birth. We have a second birth, the spiritual birth, those that get saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Remember your birth, renounce your benevolence, it's not about your goodness, then receive the beloved. Man, I could read, I've quoted Romans 10:9, 10:13 all day today. 2 Peter 3:9, "Not he's willed that any perish, but all come to repentance." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." All these verses in the Bible about our first birth, our own righteousness, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Bible still tells us, the text is still true. Many are going to say, "Lord, Lord, have I not?" Imagine that. Somebody ain't preaching. Somebody ain't preaching. Now, I don't believe in our camp, I believe it's being preached, but folks, we're just a tiny speck on it in the world. It's being preached everywhere. Just do good. Just do good. Just be nice. Just do good works. And you know, make sure when you die, your good works outweigh your bad works. And if that happens, there's no way the Lord's going to reject you. Yes, He will if you don't have Christ. That's the deal breaker. Without Christ, you ain't going. It doesn't matter how many leaves you've turned over. It doesn't matter how you've quit a habit. It doesn't matter. And I'm all for all that. It doesn't matter. Well, I joined a church and I'm very, very active. It doesn't matter if you don't know Jesus. If you've never been saved. None of that matters. And the Lord is pointing out false prophets. He's pointing out these Pharisees and Sadducees. They had all the rules that you could handle. And most you couldn't handle. But they rejected Christ. They rejected the Lord Jesus. Now, folks, my next message could be, how do you get saved? You better do good works. Not to stay, but because you're a child of God. God has chosen mankind as His voice on this earth. God has chosen, folks, in the Old Testament, God made a donkey to speak. God spoke through a lot of different things in the Old Testament. But you know what? We don't have to have those things now. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the Word of God. We don't have to have that now. But God has chosen man. When I say man, I mean mankind. God's chosen men and women to be His voice, to be His ambassadors. And we're doing good works today because we know where Jesus found us. In the slop hole of sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. And He quickened us. He made us alive. Brought us up also out of that horrible pit. Now that miry clay. And He set our feet on a rock. He saved our soul. Every one of us ought to be in hell by all rights. But God. Who was rich in mercy. But God. And I don't want anybody here. You may stand at the white throne judgment and say these same things to God, but I don't want you to say, well, that's what Preacher Tommy preached. That's what I was taught. No. I hope you say it. I know if you, and you will say, the pastor at Bible Baptist, I sat under him for a while, and he preached different. It was Christ alone, but I didn't buy it. Because I believe there are going to be some preachers give account for sugarcoating the gospel. Sugarcoating the gospel. You can't sugarcoat the gospel. You can't. Folks, Christ became pure sin on the cross. He became sin for us. Preacher, how do you know that He became pure sin on the cross? Because He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What do you mean? God turned His back because He does not and cannot look upon sin. That's how ugly we are outside of grace, outside of the blood of Jesus. Don't think, well, you know what? I live as good as that Christian down the road. They're not the standard. Jesus is. I live as clean as that. And you might, but that's not the standard. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot, under no circumstances, see the kingdom of God. Do you know Him today? Is how you get into heaven through Christ? Or through works. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar.